I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And joining us in the studio today, one familiar face as part of and voice, I guess, since this is radio, as part of a band that is making its first appearance here in the studio. The band is Cascade Crescendo, and one of the members you might remember from local band Tin Can Gin from back when they were still around, Harrison Olk. Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Harrison, you want to do the honors and introduce the rest of the band?
Sure. We've got Hunter White over here on guitar, Aiden Beck on the mandolin, and Taylor Skiles on the upright bass.
All right. And we'll chat in just a little bit about how you ended up falling in with these fellas. But first, I want to let people know that you guys have a show tonight, and that is along with Gin Strings at the Red Herring Lounge. And what time does that start?
It starts 9:30. 10
okay.
o'clock.
Okay. Yep. And you guys first or second?
We are first.
All right.
Yep. Gin Strings will close tonight. So.
All right. Well, let's get started with a song from Cascade Crescendo here. What do you guys want to start with?
We're going to start with a tune that Aiden Beck on the mandolin here wrote about Portland. A song called Bridgetown.
All right. Cascade Crescendo, live from Studio A in Bridgetown, right? Is that what you said?
Yes, Bridgetown.
And about your home, where you guys live, Portland. It's the actual hometown for bass player Taylor over here, but the rest of you, all Midwestern transplants.
I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay.
Yeah, and I grew up in Indiana.
And we're playing all of our home states this tour.
Nice.
So that's really fun.
Very nice. But you wrote that tune about Portland. How long have you been there?
I've been there on and off for about 8 years.
Okay.
7-8 years.
Yeah.
And it's changed quite a bit since I've moved and inspired me to write a song about it.
And it sounds like in the song, since most of what I know about Portland comes from watching Portlandia, which I assume is an exaggerated version of what's happening.
Yes.
Tell me about the reality of what's changed since you've been there.
The reality is it's harder for artists and musicians to afford living in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the song was kind of about. We're getting pushed out a little bit more and it's changing the vibe of Portland.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you're not leaving. I think I heard that in the song.
That's right. Yeah. Lots of new buildings going up and lots of new people kind of flooding in, but still a great city and still a lot of good things that are keeping us there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Harrison, since you went there from here, tell me what brought you there.
Actually, my girlfriend's in grad school out there.
Okay.
We made the move about a year and a half ago. And so I was kind of looking for a group of guys to play with out there.
Mm-hmm.
And actually answered a Craigslist ad about 9 months, I think, before I moved out. A little premature. But these guys were looking for a banjo player, and I said, well, I'll be out there eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, we can't exactly wait on you for nine months, but...
Right, but it all worked out in the end.
Looking for another banjo player when Harrison did finally get out there, so it worked out well.
It did work out well.
Perfect timing. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm one of those people that flooded into Portland, Hunter, aren't I?
You are.
Kinda, yeah.
I am too.
So am I.
Only one that was born.
I'm not.
So Taylor, how do you feel about all these interlopers? But it seems like a really creative and fun place. And we were talking a little bit before we came on the air about there's bluegrass festivals around there or acoustic instrument festivals. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering about because here there's a pretty good acoustic music scene. I was curious what it's like out there.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's great. It seems very similar in the fact where everybody kind of supports each other. There's a lot of, bigger acts kind of willing to bring on some smaller local support and vice versa. You know, it seems like everybody's pretty connected. And there's a lot of really great areas to explore and to play out on the West Coast as well. Like up in Seattle and kind of down towards California. There's just some great communities. A lot of people really like bluegrass music out in that part of the country as well.
Great. So. Well, and this particular band, I think I read, has been around since about 2013. And
that's right.
Harrison joined a couple of years ago. So you've kind of had this lineup for a little while and had a chance to. And you, Harrison, you were able to get in on the first album, which is pretty cool.
I might have been the person lighting the fire for that one.
Were you? Tell me that story.
Well, I think it seemed like recording was maybe the next step. And I had a little bit more experience, I think, working with Tin Can Gin here and recording a couple of albums. So it was kind of cool. I kind of came in right at the right time because these guys were really interested in recording. And it had been something that I had, been a part of twice, so I kind of had a little bit of experience and was able to kind of get the ball rolling a little bit and make sure that we did it correctly the first time type of thing. And you can always make mistakes and you learn things as you do them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it was a pretty seamless process, maybe a little bit over budget, but it worked out in the end.
And how long after you got into the band did you guys record?
It's about 6 months, maybe.
Oh, okay. And so
less than that.
Somewhere in there.
So you came in and you guys had already had a bunch of songs and you had to learn the songs, Harrison.
So many songs I learned when I moved out there, out to Portland.
Yeah. Yeah, we got one of Harry's songs on the album.
Yeah.
But like you said, by the point Harrison came on board, we did have an album's worth of songs that we were ready to record and but we got one of his in, and he definitely added to the rest of them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Where did you end up recording it? What did you find?
We recorded at a place called Hollowed Halls, mm-hmm. In Portland. It actually is the biggest live room in Portland. And that was something that, based on experience of working with string bands, and we recorded, Tin Can Gin recorded both albums at Sacred Heart. So I was really familiar with kind of that big open feel. So we looked at a couple of studios, but a lot of the studios in Portland are kind of basement studios, very small spaces. So it would have been kind of hard to capture our full kind of live sound. It's nice to be able to have the strings kind of reverberate in the room and be able to kind of pull some of those sounds into the album a little bit as well. So that was one thing. We kind of found this big room, and it was awesome. I mean, it was not as big as Sacred Heart, but it was really, really nice. Had some good sounds, and we were able to kind of all be, you know, together through the process. It was nice.
Mm-hmm. And you had a guest fiddler on the album.
Yeah.
And that was Allie Crowell, who's with which band? Yonder Mountain String Band.
Yep.
And you mentioned to me earlier that they have a big festival near Portland. Is that right?
Yeah, Northwest String Summit.
Okay. And yep. When does that happen usually?
That's in July, second weekend in July.
Okay.
Yep.
And you guys have played that before?
We played last year for the first time, and we got asked to come back. So I guess we did something right.
So what's it like playing at a festival like that as opposed to, you know, doing a regular touring show?
I think it's just a really great time. I mean, all of us, except for Harrison, have been attending that particular festival for years. I think all of us, 2009 was our first year attending it, and so we've been spectators at that event for many years, and then finally just last year actually getting to play it and be on the lineup and kind of switching from being, you know, out in front of the stage to really back behind the stage and behind the scenes and getting to see, getting to interact with a lot of other bands. I think that's the big difference between playing, you know, shows with maybe one or two other bands or even by yourself to playing a big festival like that with, you know, all the bands that we really look up to in a lot of ways and get a lot of our inspiration from. So nice to be a part of that and mingling with everybody and meeting a lot of people, making great connections and hearing people picking in the campgrounds and backstage warming up. And yeah, it's really fun.
Nice. Well, let's hear another song. What do you guys want to do next? And I want to mention, so that first one did not look like it was on that first album of yours. So was that a new one?
That's a newer one.
Oh,
newer.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and you put this out, the album, which is called Caught in the Rain, perfect for a band from Portland.
Yeah.
Came out last year already.
Yep.
So as often happens, you probably had that material for a while, and then now you're already thinking ahead, even though the album hasn't even been out quite a year yet. That's how it seems to work.
Yeah,
usually.
Yeah. We're hoping to, it seems like we have a lot of material that we've kind of built up since I've joined, and everybody's kind of writing music. We're feeling pretty creative right now, so I think it'd be good to, you know, we're already thinking about hopping back in the studio here.
Yeah, album number two.
Pretty soon, so, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, okay. And this is another new one that's not on the album.
All right.
Written by Taylor Skiles on the upright bass.
Yep.
What song? Song You Know.
Yep. Songs. Then the years roll by and our season ends. The summer's o'er, now you call us friends. So the story goes, this life's been lived too many times before. It's the same song you know. Thank you.
song you know.
That's Cascade Crescendo, live from Studio A. And on the album, you credit the whole band for writing songs, so it sounds like all of you kind of contribute. Maybe one person kind of does the main part of one, like Taylor did that one, but how does that work?
I think it's pretty equal. Usually just when someone has one done, we either like make a recording at home of it, or just bring it, chart it out to practice. And work through it, and then usually, you know, everybody adds something to it, or come up with a bridge, or a jam section, or something like that. But usually, you have kind of a shell written out. One of us does, and then we finish it together.
Mm-hmm. And you do pretty much originals. There's one Smashing Pumpkins cover on
right.
the album,
yes.
But it seems like you guys mostly do originals. Are there any other covers that sneak in once in a while?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we play a lot of shows. Yeah, we play definitely a few covers every show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll cover a lot of, we play a lot of old traditional bluegrass music,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes with our own twist on it, but, mm-hmm. and then we'll play, we like to cover Green Sky Bluegrass, one of our favorite bands, and Yonder, we'll play some of their songs mm-hmm. occasionally, and, a couple John Hartford songs.
Yeah, and then like even some non-bluegrass stuff, like you mentioned, Disarm, and, we do some Talking Heads tunes, and, a couple other things that we bluegrass up a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, covers are fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We like playing them.
Yeah, but it's cool that you do a lot of original stuff.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, I think usually our sets are maybe 75% original, mm-hmm. and then we'll throw a few covers in every night.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have a very unique way of writing. All of our songs differ from one another quite a bit. So after a while of listening to the band as a whole, you can kind of pick out who wrote which song.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like.
All right. So what? How would we tell one of your songs?
What's that?
How would we tell one of your songs, Amy?
Oh, you'd have to listen to the album. Come check out the album.
What's your tell?
You know? The show. I write a lot of songs about driving.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of songs about being outdoors and experiencing life. But I think it's mostly the energy of how I write music. It's a little faster. And yeah.
So that kind of yeah. makes a variety in like when you put together an album or something,
right.
it gives a variety to your sound.
Yeah, and
imagine.
Hunter, on the other hand, is a little slower, more soulful.
Yeah.
You know, make you shed
a
tear.
Come from more of a folk music background, and so a lot of my songs, even some of actually the song we're gonna play next is a old song that I wrote when I was doing more of a singer songwriter type of thing, and now playing it with the band, it's taken on a bit more of a bluegrass feel, but. It is still kind of more of a folk song, I guess, than a lot of our stuff.
So did you do that for a while before you joined the band, the solo thing? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I've done a lot of different mm-hmm. stuff throughout the years, from, playing in rock and kind of alternative band in high school, and then doing more of the folk singer-songwriter through a lot of college, and even did was making electronic music there for a little while.
Is that a plug for DJ Electro?
Right before really getting into bluegrass music and finding these guys and starting to play. And a lot of that kind of coincided with going to that Northwestern Summit Music Festival and kind of getting inspired by the more jam grass variety of bluegrass music.
Mm-hmm. So how did you guys get connected and start the band?
It started out kind of one by one. When I moved to Portland, shortly after, I was trying to find people to play with, and found Hunter, and him and I would get together on, you know, nice summer days out on his patio, and it started out just kind of like that. And then I met Taylor, a friend of Taylor's, and he's told me Taylor played the bass. So then we got together, and we went through a couple banjo players, and here we are.
And what did you find your musical commonalities were that kind of shaped what you ended up doing?
You know, I think it started out with, you know, a lot of jam band influences, and, you know, a little bit more progressive bluegrass, Sam Bush, Green Sky Bluegrass, Yonder Mountain String Band, stuff like that. But there's definitely, we all have some roots in jam bands as well.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys want to play next?
So yeah, we're going to do this song that Hunter White wrote called Old Charlie Rose.
This one's on the album.
Get all tuned up for you first.
Thank you. Cascade Crescendo live from Studio A, and a tune that is on their album Caught in the Rain that came out last year, Old Charlie Rhodes. What inspired that one?
I don't know. That's one that I wrote a long time ago when I was about 15 years old, so it's been a long time. And you know, it wasn't about an actual person. It was just kind of a story made up about a wise old truck driver that was trying to tell me not to get caught up in the maze, in the trap that he had, and to, you know, I don't know, I guess, kind of living life to the fullest and you know, not getting too bogged down and going down a path that you don't want to be.
You're already thinking those deep thoughts when you're 15, huh?
Surprise myself every time I sing it, yeah.
That's great. Well, and you guys are still tuning in because you promised you're gonna play me out with a nice instrumental at the end here. But again, thanks so much for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Great to meet you.
Thank you.
So, Harrison, what are the prime spots that you've had to take these guys? You, like, I'm bringing these guys. Some of them have never been here. Most of them have never been here before.
Can I plug businesses on the air here? Is that what I'm doing?
Well, let's stick with, like, places.
We got a sandwich down in Canal Park.
Okay.
Which was good. We're going to probably go get a beer on the West End. And maybe go head out down to Park Point. I told these guys we got to swim in the lake. It's the greatest lake in the world. And they think I'm crazy, but I'm seriously going to go in the lake because I'm only in Duluth for one night. So I'm going to do a little pre-show dip, I think. And
nice. Yeah. So if the rest of the band shows up without a banjo player tonight, you'll know what happened.
I'll be sick. Somewhere.
He has hypothermia. Yeah. And
it's not that cold. 40 degrees. That's prime. It's prime hot. Dipping weather. Yeah. That's
all
hot.
Right. Spoken like a true former Duluthian.
There we
That's
go.
Awesome. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, guys.
And thank you, Christine.
And again, they are playing tonight at night, starting at 9:30 at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth, and they are kicking off the night, and then it is Gin Strings. And all right. Cool. I'm going to talk over your outro here. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood and Cheyenne Vavrina. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening. That is Cascade Crescendo. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.